Hey everyone, welcome to Beyond the Whiteboard. This week we are talking with UConn's Director of Sports Nutrition, Liz Waluka. We are breaking down what it takes to keep your student athlete fueled up for peak performance. Enjoy this week's episode.
Yes, let's go.
All right, Liz, would you mind introducing yourself and tell us a little about yourself?
Yes, so my name is Liz Waluka. I'm the Director of Sports Nutrition at the University of Connecticut. I went to undergrad at Syracuse University, studied nutrition. I went on to do my dietetic internship at Pepperdine University. And there is where I interned with the sports dietitian at UCLA and found out that being a sports dietitian was a career. From there, I did a fellowship at UNC Chapel Hill called the Gatorade SNP program, which is the Sports Nutrition Immersion Program. Whereas an early professional, I had the chance to work under a veteran sports dietitian at UNC Chapel Hill, working with those athletes there. And then from there, I was brought in as the first full-time director of sports nutrition at UConn. So really exciting, building a program from the ground up. And, you know, just really want to help our athletes here, you know, understand nutrition, but most importantly, being able to apply it right away. So yeah, I'm really excited to be here. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. Kind of a quick thing on how we actually, I guess, met in the social media world. Somehow we've started following your Instagram. I'm not even sure how I got there, but I wind up going down all these different rabbit holes of Instagram stuff and, was following her and then following, Feeding Huskies, right? Or Fueling Huskies. Sorry. And then, you posted a question on there, like, what it was. If you're a graduating senior, please tell me something you've learned from this Instagram page. So I emailed her and I'm like, I'm not a senior, senior citizen, but I learned all this stuff from your website or from the Instagram page. It was amazing.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's probably one of the best around. So I really appreciate you guys putting that content out there. That was good.
Yeah, super duper excited here. Like I said, I'm a high school teacher, so hopefully I can learn from you. And I have a daughter who's 19. I have two boys, 16 and 13. So I'm really looking forward to some of the things that you can share about nutrition, certainly for athletes, you know, their age, high school athletes.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
So so again, for those, our listeners, we are not going to be talking about, I'm going to jokingly call it old people nutrition. We're not going to talk about paleo and keto and all that fun stuff. This is for your kids. And your high school athlete, college age athlete. So that's what we're gearing this one towards. So, what's the best way? Kind of walk us through the steps of the education and fueling a high school or college athlete.
Yeah. So I always like to start like this. When you think about, you know, a high school athlete or a college athlete, you know, we go stress, rest, and repeat. You know, you're going from class, you're balancing schoolwork, you're trying to balance social life, maybe you're going to a lift, and then every day you have to wake up and do it again, right? And so instead of just getting by in all these four things, you know, what could it look like to feel amazing in all of those things and wake up every morning and have that energy? So having athletes realize, you know, what's going to give you that edge, whether you're at the high school level or the college level, especially if you are going to the college level, now, you know, everybody's going to be good. So what's going to set you apart? So really breaking it down, like you said, into the basics, but having them apply it and understand it and to be able to use it not only on the field, but also, you know, in their everyday life and what they're doing.
Awesome. So one, following some of your Instagram stuff, you did have the some of the basics I always see on there is a triple threat meal.
Yep.
So what does that look like?
Is that like a McDonald's?
Yeah.
No, it is not.
No, it's not.
It's just a little bit different.
A little different.
Okay. But yeah, so I like to call triple threat meals are what we call our three meals. And then our snacks in between, we call them double play. So really simple terminology. So your triple threat meal is going to be composed of carbohydrates, lean proteins, and then it's either fruits, veggies, or healthy fats. So carbohydrates, starting off first, are your body's primary energy source. So that's your fuel. I like to help athletes understand to try to think of their body as a car. You know, do you want to be a beat up Toyota and put, you know, poor fuel in your gas tank, like eat fried foods often or not eat on a schedule? Or, you know, do you want to put quality fuel in your tank? You know, eat whole grains, lean protein, have that fuel. And do you want to be a Ferrari? Most everybody raises their hand and wants to be a Ferrari. So, you know, your whole grains, what people don't understand is that when we talk about grains, grains have fiber and protein in them, and protein can keep you full for a longer time. And we also need fiber in our diet. So, you know, for athletes, they need a higher percent of carbohydrates in their diet for fuel. And without carbohydrates, it could like lead to injury. It's called like a depletion of glycogen stores. So as you're working out for a longer period of time, your glycogen stores, your carbohydrate stores are depleting, and then you're not going to be able to recover adequately to go on to your next task. So carbs are your body's primary fuel. It's just about the differences between what carbs. And then our lean protein. Protein helps us repair and rebuild our muscles. And protein also keeps us full for a longer time. So that's like your eggs, beef jerky. We have our milk. We have cottage cheese. Bread offers some protein, beans, chicken, things like that. So having athletes identify, okay, you know, one egg has 6 grams of protein and, you know, I'm going to make a 3-egg omelet. So now we know we have 18 grams and everybody's protein needs are going to be different, but let's say from high school to college, I mean, if you're an O lineman, you could need around like 35, 40 grams of protein, but the general, let's say 20 grams of protein. So, you know, having to be able to understand, you know, what's a protein source and how to get, you know, around that. And then the last one is going to be your fruits and veggies and healthy fats. And fruits and veggies help decrease inflammation and also decrease muscle soreness. And healthy fats are going to help with hormone balance, and they also keep you full for a longer time. And healthy fats like salmon, olive oil also help with brain function, cognitive function, and decreasing inflammation. So more fruits and veggies, more antioxidants, you know, good for that recovery. So in an ideal world, it'd be great if you could have all 5 components, but I think the carbs, think of like the fuel in your gas tank, the protein going to help you repair and build your muscles, and then, you know, your antioxidants that are going to help with recovery, and your healthy fats that, you know, are going to help with inflammation. So it's about picking the foods that, you know, are going to be powerful, that not like, you know, the fried fats, things like that. So picking lean options. So keeping it simple. And then there's also certain ways that you can build your plate, different portions. So someone who's trying to lean out, I think a lot of times they think, let me just take carbs right out of their diet, right?
Right.
And so there's infographics on this, but understanding like, okay, half your plate could be fruits and vegetables because they have a lot of fiber and they're going to keep you full longer. You're going to have a little bit more protein because that's going to also keep you satisfied for a while. But then you're going to have a little section of grains, and that's going to be whole grains. So that could be quinoa, brown rice, and that has the fiber and protein to keep you full for a longer time. And without having that amount of carbs on your plate, your body's going to tap into your protein for fuel, and then you're going to lose lean muscle mass you've been working so hard to gain. So understanding like the carbs are power, they're fuel, but it's just about picking the right carbs to give you that edge. But it's about making the performance plate. Whereas someone's trying to gain weight, their half their plate's going to be carbohydrates, and then the protein and the fruits and vegetables will be even. So it's kind of about how can you utilize all 3 macronutrients and kind of move them around your plate to meet your goals.
Gotcha. But when we're talking about gaining weight with carbs, we're not talking about just like white bread, right? It's more of it's a better grain, like you were talking about, like the quinoa or.
Yeah, but yeah, so there's, you can use it to your advantage. So actually like with simple carbs for weight gain, you know, you still want to make half your grains, half your carbs whole grains, but for weight gain, a lot of times I'm sure you guys know, like it's protein, 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 but protein keeps you full for a really long time. So it actually can't get you the calories you need. So you can use simple carbs to your advantage where that kid can get in that fruit juice or can get in those fruit snacks or maybe have that sandwich on white bread because they're not going to stay as full, but they're going to get the calories in. So okay. You can kind of play around with that because if someone's eating brown rice that often, like they're going to be, you know, full for a longer time. So yeah, there's ways to kind of go around it, but still get like, you know, a healthy diet.
Okay. And would there be a different meal different meals depending on whether or not you're training that day, whether you're off season, on season, you know? Are you going to change that diet because maybe you're a soccer player, but now you're no longer, you know, you don't have that heavy, you know, you're not in the middle of the season.
Yeah. So the first thing when like someone's looking to change body composition, you never want to change in season because you don't want it to affect your performance. You always want to try things out of season. And I think it's always going to be individualized. Like, you know, if you're not working out as much, you don't need that much fuel in your tank to fuel that workout, but doesn't mean you need no fuel in your tank. I find often sometimes whether an athlete's injured or, you know, they're taking the season off or anything like that, they think, oh, I shouldn't really be eating because So understanding you actually need that fuel, especially if you're recovering from an injury, you need those, you know, macronutrients. Maybe it's in a smaller amount, but maybe you're increasing the, you know, the fruit for the antioxidants or whatever, or the lean protein to maintain lean muscle mass. So it's going to be different for everyone based on their goals. But you're going to change it based on what type of season you're in.
Okay.
One thing I'm curious of, when athletes get to your level and come see you, do you have a hard time? Like, I know, again, I always use my daughter as an example or other kids. And we have another athlete here that's could be going away to college. They don't even want to eat. Never mind some of the stuff, you know, like chicken and lean protein. Like, they don't even want to eat. Do you find that? Is that an obstacle you encounter a lot, of them not even wanting to eat that much at all?
I wouldn't say not eat that much. I think the biggest thing when people come to me, it's more just being uneducated. You know, you hear one thing at the gym and you think it's true. And, you know, when I can sit down and just hear them out and just, you know, give them the information on, hey, this is the difference between like almond milk and regular milk. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. My mom drinks that. Well, is your mom a D1, you know, right, varsity athlete? And they're like, oh, you're right. Like, no, they're not. Okay. So I think what you're trying to maybe get at is, I think an ideal breakfast sometimes in my mind of, you know, how can we get to this like 25 grams of protein? It's not going to be realistic in every setting. So I think starting where the person is sometimes, like in not having these like huge, you know, leaps and jumps for someone who's not there yet. Some people, they've never had breakfast in their life. So you're not going to start off with, you're going to have a yogurt parfait every morning because they don't even, you know, but maybe a banana. You know, it's not the best breakfast, but hey, it's better than nothing. They're getting some carbs in. And maybe we add, you know, a dollop of peanut butter, and then we got a little bit of healthy fat. And maybe they notice they have better energy when they're taking their exam in the morning, or they have that lift. So you kind of just like tease out, you know, what's going to work for them, but also helping them realize like, hey, you could feel a lot better. And sometimes they have to just like figure it out and realize. I have some athletes that come in and maybe they're not looking to make big changes, but you know, they were so exhausted at the end of the day, but when they ate lunch on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they realized they felt great.
Right. Okay.
So it's like, you got to start super small sometimes, and it might not feel like right, but you got to meet the person where there is. And I think like slowly bring them to where you want them to be, but also more importantly, where they want to be.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
Absolutely. And do you think the universities and colleges are, you know, they students have better access to some better foods now than maybe 10, 15 years ago?
So the organization I'm part of is called CPSDA, the Collegiate Professional Dietitians Association. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible organization of all like sports dietitians in the pro and collegiate levels, tactical, that, you know, elevate the game of sports nutrition and fueling our athletes. And in 2014, deregulation of fueling occurred, where before this, schools were only allowed to feed their athletes fruits, nuts, and bagels to keep the playing, you know, to keep it even. And since that rule was dropped, now universities can give their athletes really almost anything, any food. So there's been so many more job opportunities in our field because there's more food, there's more, you know, education. So our field is growing tremendously. I'm the first full-time sports dietitian at UConn. I'm one, but some schools have 5 full-time dietitians. Some have 6. I mean, it is incredible because there's such a need. You know, fueling and recovering is just as important as sleep and lifting and going to class and performing. So it's part of the performance picture. And I think it's only going to get bigger. And the one area where we're not, I think, fully there yet is the high school level. So I think we talked about this on the phone, but, you know, we get the athletes coming up and they don't really know much. Some of them do come from academies where they might have had a sports dietitian there. But, you know, what if our athletes could have a nutrition class in their, you know, health ed class, or, you know, come up and know the basics before college, because I think it'd be a huge advantage.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
And when you follow, I follow a lot of the different college nutrition programs and seeing some of the spreads. And again, the CPSDA was at the College World Series. And they were doing behind the scenes stuff. When you see the spreads, like after the game or before the game, you're like, man, you just see some of just trays of food. I mean, it's phenomenal the way and specialized to whatever they want. But it's really, the options are crazy that they have. So it's pretty cool stuff. So as far as snacking goes, so you have that, you have your big meal in the morning, and then you got lunch. So you definitely have to have that snack in between. Is that where the double play snack comes in?
Yes. So double play snack is when you're going to pair a carbohydrate with a protein source or a healthy fat. So for example, I always give the analogy, have you ever sat on the couch eating out of a bag of chips and can't stop? Most people raise their hand and say, me.
Yeah.
And the best way to describe that is because if you're, you know, if you're just eating chips, your blood sugar, your blood sugar is just spiking, right? Like, so you just keep eating because you're, there's no sense to your body that you're full. But if you pair a carbohydrate, like let's say Triscuits or Wheat Thins with, you know, string cheese or 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, that's going to have some protein in it and a little bit of healthy fat. So that's going to keel over your blood sugars, keel your energy levels, and keep you full for a longer time. So the easiest examples for, you know, high school athlete or college, you know, go to the store, get a, you know, peanut butter crackers, just throw them in your backpack, get some almonds. That's a great source of healthy fat and protein. You know, apples, grapes, for your carbohydrate, but pairing the two, like that can be a huge game changer for that sustainable energy. So I think in your case, when I think of the high school athlete, I think, you know, hopefully they had a good lunch at 12. And then school gets out at 2 or 3, then they're off to soccer practice and they haven't eaten since, or they grabbed a bag of Cheetos. So, you know, maybe they have that apple and peanut butter or the cracker and peanut butter with them, but just a more sustainable snack. Or, you know, there's a bunch of protein bars out there that, you know, they could easily grab and have in their backpack as well.
Which is another interesting thing you brought up. I believe like my daughter's lunch, I want to say, is maybe like 10 o'clock or...
Last year.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
11 o'clock. You know, so that's another thing they're fighting too. Of like, she doesn't have practice until, you know, 2 o'clock, but she has that, you know, lunch at 10:30, 11, or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, and that's a good point too, because I think sometimes people naturally make food rules of, you know, only eat 3 meals a day or certain things. But you know, if you wake up at 6 a.m., you know, you're not probably gonna have lunch at 9, but that's when you need that double play snack, right? Because you didn't wake up at 9 and you're gonna have lunch at 12 like that typical, you know, fairy tale day. So you know, if she's having lunch at 11, maybe she's having breakfast at 7. So my biggest thing that I feel like is the most important takeaway, which I'll obviously say at the end, is eating every 3 to 4 hours to have adequate energy throughout the day. So many of my athletes walk out with that goal, and it's somewhat intentional that they all walk out with that goal. But that's one thing that if you can be consistent and eat on a schedule, you're going to have that sustainable energy.
Okay. Awesome. If that pretty much covered all that. If we can get into a little bit of like what a competition day looks like. So it's let's say football season, we're in spring or summer now, but you know, our first big thing of high school will be, you know, football. So can you run me through you know, football, volleyball, I guess, are the two sports that start first. So what does the day look like for a high school or college on game day?
Yeah. So I can take you through a football game day, and yeah, so it's pretty cool because it really depends, you know, what time's the game, because how many meals are you going to eat? So let's say we have a 3:30 game.
Okay.
So, you know, you wake up, we have breakfast around, you know, 9 o'clock, and then maybe we'll have our pregame meal. And so breakfast could be, you know, eggs for protein. We have Greek yogurt for protein. We'll have some hash browns. We'll have whole grain bread. We'll have, waffles, pancakes. So we'll always have a spread of, you know, all of our carbs, our protein. We'll have a huge fruit platter out. So we have everything covered there, juice to get some carbs in as well. And then our pregame meal, we always have the same pregame meal. And that's because I like to say you don't want to do new nutrition before, you know, competition day, because you don't want to upset your stomach. You don't want to try new things. So always try new things on a practice day. And so around, let's say like 12-ish, you always want to have your pregame meal around 3 to 4 hours out. I think that's a big key. So that's going to be, you know, you really want to keep it simple. We always have baked potato, pasta, grilled chicken, broccoli, fruit platter. But a really big key thing is you don't want to have like fried foods, creamy, heavy sauces, because those have a lot of fat in the sense that they're going to like slow down digestion, and they could sit really heavy in your stomach and not give you the best fuel. So, you know, maybe choosing marinara sauce or, you know, light butter instead of, you know, pouring on Alfredo sauce. So then they'll have that. And then getting ready in the locker room, there'll always be snacks out. And this will go into what you should eat like 30 to 60 minutes before a game, and also your halftime fuel. So if you're hungry, you know, 30 to 60 minutes out, that's where you want to reach for the simple carbohydrates. And that's because it's going to give you quick energy, won't sit heavy in your stomach. So that could be applesauce is so easy. They have, you know, those pouches. You know, bananas, super easy. You know, grapes, pretzels, also a good source of sodium, pretzels. And, you know, they have those options to have as well. They'll come back in at halftime and have all those things available as well. And why that is kind of what I was saying is, as you work out over time, you know, as you come in after halftime, the energy you had when you started a game, you have to realize has gone down. So when you think about it, why would you ever go back in the second half without refueling your tank? And another big one is sports drinks. I think everyone's sometimes really confused about, you know, why we're drinking them. They have so much sugar. And a lot of times when I hear people talk about sports drinks, it's all about, oh yeah, they have electrolytes. But sports drinks have carbohydrates, simple carbs that can give you that fuel without upsetting your stomach. So, you know, having those simple carbs in between can help bring your energy levels back up to give you that, you know, spark in the second half. So that's what halftime fuel would be good, more of that simple carbs in that 30 to 60 minutes right before, whereas that 3 to 4 hours out before game time is that triple threat.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
See, I think, you know, the biggest thing I'm getting out of this so far, and again, I'm understanding my side of the desk, if you will, of training adults, is we are, I want to say, yeah, we are. We're scared of carbs.
Yeah.
No. Right? And it's hard for me to wrap my head around that, because like I'm thinking Gatorade, like there's no way in the world it's too many carbs. I would never have that. You know, because like we're, you know, war against carbs. Yeah. Everywhere you see, it's this big war against carbs, but athletes need that. And that's the that's the important thing I'm getting out of this, you know, at least good carbs, you know, like that sports drink at halftime.
Yeah. And even like for the everyday person, because like when carbs gets that rep, whether you're an athlete or not, I think what we all forget about too, just as a registered dietitian, is food's supposed to be enjoyed. Like there's a reason why your brain lights up when you eat like a sandwich versus if you eat a lettuce wrap, right? So I think finding that middle ground, and like, you know, if people are doing intermittent fasting and you're going to be like, no, I can't go out tonight, I can't eat past 7. It's like, what, like we get so tied up in like food rules that we're like, what are we doing? So I think if we can find a middle ground between like, hey, like if you look at any diet, there's probably some positive things. Like, you know, maybe I'll look at paleo and say, maybe I should increase my lean protein, but it doesn't mean take everything else out and deprive yourself. So I think focusing on like two things, just for like the everyday person and the athlete, and you know, trying to be consistent with them, you're going to see just so much more. It's going to be a lifestyle. Right. And that's what you want. I mean, to think every day you wake up and you're like, oh, what am I going to avoid today? Or how am I going to get past that cookie? Like, you know, our brain space is being taken up by energy we could be sharing with our friends, our family, you know, having fun. So I think sometimes just remembering like food, it should be enjoyed. It's about our culture. It's about our religion. It's about like who we are. But it doesn't have to be center stage. Sorry, that was like the dietitian in me.
No, that was so.
So you're telling me at every halftime, these pro college football players are definitely grabbing a snack during halftime.
They're
down on something.
Yeah, and I've been at different schools, and some schools, I think, you know, I think different things take time, but yeah, they're eating and they're hungry. Some their stomachs might be upset, or some of them it's hard to eat before a game. I'm sure you might have athletes that it's really hard to eat. So that's where, like, sometimes the fruit juice, you know, they're going to get some carbs in, but it's not going to upset their stomach, or some applesauce.
Okay.
It's not ideal, but it's better than being like, oh, they can't eat, like they're not going to eat. And then, you know, after game, they'll have, you know, a post-game meal, which is going to be a good source of carbs, good source of protein, recovering the muscles. And then, you know, the next day they come back in and, you know, they're almost having a recovery breakfast. So the fueling never stops, the lifestyle never stops, and it's just a continuum. But, you know, if you leave your fueling behind, that's a long football season. You're getting beat up. So, you know, I think our guys understand, like, and they have, like, they have the resources here, so they utilize them. But, you know, if you're not taking care of your body, you know, you're going to break down.
Okay, so post-game, let's how critical, well, I'm thinking lifting now. I don't know if it's the same thing. How critical is that magic 30-minute?
Yes, wrap it up. So I would say it's more like an hour, but I think the biggest message, because, like, I get athletes all the time, actually yesterday, I had a player come up to me, he's a freshman here, and he goes, you know, should I chug this? And I was like, you don't have to chug it, like, it'll still work. So understanding that it's just after you lift, after you work out, there's more blood flow to your muscles. So it's just a greater chance for, like, protein synthesis and rebuilding your muscle mass. So I think that window is important. However, if you're going to breakfast within 30 minutes, I'd rather that athlete eat breakfast and get more protein and carbohydrates in there, because what I find often is athletes who are trying to gain weight, they'll, like, down protein shakes and they'll just have 40 grams of protein and they're a little guy. And now they can't eat breakfast because they're so full. So I think the recovery window is important to get carbohydrates and protein in to repair and build the muscle. But if you're not doing everything else right, like if you're not eating on a consistent schedule, if you're not having that double play snack, if you're not having that snack every night before bed, that window can't make a big difference. So I think understanding the window, but what about your other habits that are going to complement the window?
Right. No, that makes total sense. I was just always curious about that, the magic anabolic 30-minute window, like the world's going to end.
Yeah.
I just missed that. I was still thinking, so it's you take in protein or a combination of protein and carbs in that window?
Yeah, because a lot of times I think people think it's just protein, but you need carbohydrates as well, especially if you're going to another training session within, like, less than 8 hours. If you're not refilling your energy tank, then how are you going to go into the next session? But it's also going to help with the like protein synthesis as well.
Okay.
But, like, for a high school athlete, chocolate milk is, like, the easiest recovery drink that you can find. It has a great source of carbohydrates and it has some protein in it.
2019, that's it. Because it's funny because we've all heard that, right? Chocolate milk. And it's funny that still with all the fancy stuff, milk.
But that's how you can make it simple. Chocolate milk, or maybe, I don't know, they have some peanut butter packets of string cheese. I mean, you can make up any combinations to try to get, you know, if it's a smaller athlete, maybe they need less than 20 grams, but that can be, like, you know, to aim for. I'm trying to think what else. But yeah, chocolate milk is the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, if they can make a recovery smoothie or have some Greek yogurt, if there's a fridge nearby, maybe a coach has a fridge, everyone takes a Greek yogurt that, you know, it could range, but let's say 12 to 14 grams of protein, sprinkle some granola, maybe they have a dollop of peanut butter in there and they're up to, you know, 17 grams of protein for a recovery snack.
Yeah.
So it's just about, like, kind of being creative and thinking of options, but I think just being conscious of, hey, have I eaten anything? Or, hey, I just had that strenuous workout. How am I going to complement my workout and, you know, take advantage of the work I just did and make sure I, you know, reap the benefits?
Oh, gotcha. Cool deal. The other hot button topic, especially here in Florida because of the heat, is hydration, right? So how can you give us some pointers on that?
Yeah. So I find that, like, athletes, I'm sure you guys said to do it too, like, they're just being told, like, you know, hydrate, but no one, like, knows why. Like, okay, like, I'm gonna cramp, but, like, how does that work? So, you know, I like to explain to them that when you're hydrated, it actually lubricates your joints, so it's gonna prevent you from getting injured. It's gonna help with just, you know, your overall focus, your reaction time, your quickness. And when you're dehydrated, you know, it's not gonna benefit you. So when I talk about, you know, what are the disadvantages of being dehydrated, you're going to decrease your muscle strength, your stamina, your energy, your speed, and like I said, your reaction time. And all those things are going to lead to an increased risk for injury. So helping them understand, okay, like that, I understand that now of why that would actually be important. And then just like a general rule of thumb, you want to aim for half of your weight in body ounce, of half your weight in ounces. So for example, if you were 160 pounds and you divide that by two, and then you would divide it by the number of ounces that your water bottle has. So for example, our athletes use a 32 ounce water bottle. So that would be two and a half water bottles a day. Some athletes, they're only drinking one bottle a day. So, you know, how can you work up with them slowly? Or, you know, you can, it's not just water that can keep you hydrated. It can be milk, it can be juice, you know, fruit, things like that. So I think just like staying on top of it and being mindful of staying hydrated can just be helpful for performance.
Yeah, that gallon of water is not, that's, you don't, people walk around with a gallon of water, and drinking a gallon of water a day is a bunch of malarkey.
I mean, you could, if like, say, like you could, for example, if that was like your weight to ratio, like.
Yeah, but if it wasn't, you know, you see a lot of high school kids will walk around with a bot, you know, the gallon of water, and they drink it before, you know, the entire day before practice.
Yeah, I mean, it probably wouldn't hurt, but most of them probably, if they're holding gallons or they're like a football player, probably would be kind of around their range, but typically half of your body weight in ounces, okay, just a good way to start if you really have like no idea.
Is there ever a time where you could almost be overhydrated where it actually works against you?
Yeah. So it's pretty like rare, but yeah, like drinking too much water will lead to hyponatremia, where you would not feel very good, and you would have the risk of like fainting, and it would be like a health concern.
Yeah, no, my thing was like, if you're just like, you know, you're releasing all nutrients because you're so hydrated that you're not even, your body's not able to absorb nutrients or those types of things. I didn't know if that ever became an issue with water consumption.
We haven't had that really here. It's more that they can't get enough, but if someone were like thinking that overhydrating would be really good, it wouldn't be. If you took it to that extreme, like it could be actually like deadly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you guys, I want to say tricks, but I noticed, again, following that Instagram page when they were at the College World Series, they had a lot of salty snacks in there to help kind of promote the drinking, right? To keep people, just to, because the salt obviously makes you want to drink more. So is that kind of a trick you guys use to, I don't want to say a trick, but is that?
Is it a hack, Joe? Is that a hack?
Yeah,
because when you drink something with sodium or like drink Powerade, or, you know, any sports drink, you're just naturally going to want more because the sodium does stimulate thirst. Okay. So it's a great way to help retain water, retain hydration and fluid to, you know, prevent, you know, cramping or anything like that. But, you know, you can salt your food. You can go back to the basics. It doesn't have to be all salty snacks. But yeah, especially during like summer camp for football, you know, pretzels, you can have Goldfish. Beef jerky is high in sodium. So you can like work foods around different needs or different priorities of what you're going for.
So Liz, when an athlete in the middle of a game, especially when you Northerners come down south, and by the third, fourth quarter, a lot of football players are laying there because they're cramping, did they make a mistake in their nutrition that now is leading them to cramp up? Or is it just,
so we're really fortunate that we have like a hydration protocol here. So like we don't have too many people cramping, but yeah, it could be obviously the ratio, you know, it's not all because of your nutrition, but I think it could play a role, especially if it's happening often. Okay. Like a lot of times if that is happening, maybe they had no idea that like they needed to include sodium rich foods, or maybe they had no idea they needed to be drinking water. Like, you know, you don't know that person's history. So I think it's about like looking into, you know, their diet, their, you know, 3-day food record, or, you know, what's going on, and kind of filling in the gaps there and seeing, you know, what can work.
Are there certain things that you do with your athletes when you know they're going to be in a hot, you know, warm environment, and they're going to be sweating quite a bit, that you try to do things 3, 4, 5 days out to help them?
yeah, like, I mean, we can promote like salty snacks, things like that, like always have that around, or salting their food. I would say like summer camp is like the time, it's like, you know, almost feels like a month, it's maybe like 15 days, but that's the time where, you know, we're focusing on all those things, hydration and cramping and making sure you're getting sodium in and all your macronutrients, because we want these guys to, you know, feel good on the field. But like when they come off the field, they'll always weigh in before practice, and they'll weigh in when they come back out, because that's what we can see how much water they've lost. Exactly. So for every pound loss, it's 16 ounces, at least 16 ounces of water. So the way we describe it is, if one water bottle is 32 ounces, if you lose 2 pounds, you drink a water bottle. So it's very simple. It's just because we don't have pictures here. I'm a big like slideshow person. I feel like we're just like talking like this, but make it really simple, because it doesn't need to be complicated.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what Joe always says.
Yeah.
So you're preaching to Joe.
One of the cool things, again, I'm using your Instagram feed a lot, thinking of, but in the wintertime, of course, most people, it's colder, especially when we get our 2 days of cold here in Florida. No one wants to drink or anything. But you had some pretty good things to make people, or not make people drink, but some pretty good ideas for hydration in the wintertime. You mind sharing a couple of those? I think it was like hot chocolate was one of them. And
that's so funny. Yeah. The biggest thing I go to is like just adding like lemon to your water, or like a flavor. We actually have flavored water at for a football player. So like they flavor it, they put cucumber in it. I mean, not every school can do that. But I think changing it up, you can switch, like, you know, maybe you try a drink that has some flavor, has a little sodium to help stimulate your thirst. So I think it's being creative of what that person likes. I don't find that's like, like a huge thing we run into, but it's more that they forget their water bottle. Okay. And that's why they're not drinking. Or it's more like, oh, okay, I should fill my water bottle up, bring it to class, and now I'm aware. And, you know, we'd like you to get to, you know, 2 to 3 liters a day, but right now you're at 1. So how can we slowly work it up? And then they'll notice they feel better, and that's how it like comes back around.
Gotcha. Just out of curiosity, this really has nothing to do with our conversation. It's just a question I had as far as high school goes. Do you make your athletes fill out a food journal on a daily basis, or what does that look like?
It depends. I think it depends of if it's athletes coming in for different things. Like usually for me personally, what I've noticed in my experience is if I do a 24-hour recall with this athlete, which is just going through like, you know, a typical day in the life, I can easily usually spot out like obvious gaps. However, if there's a bigger issue going on, like a deficiency or something that I'm not sure of, then we usually will do a 3-day food record. Okay. I think sometimes it's, you want it to be helpful, but they might not write things down correctly. Like, I think there's a lot of different, not like things that could go wrong, but there's just different variables. So, yeah, I feel like it could be different for every athlete, but sometimes tracking their food can help them realize, oh, wow, I'm not getting this.
Correct.
So I think it can be helpful in some sort senses, but I don't think I like rely on that. It's more like, take me through a typical day, and, or, you know, if your Monday and Wednesdays are the same, but your Fridays are crazy. Or for example, like a football player could be like, yeah, I feel well, you know, during the week, everything's going well. Well, your weekends are totally different, right? Because you don't have, so you're waking up at 11 and that's your first meal. Well, you just missed 1,000 calories
right.
Morning. So I find it's the weekends where you're like, okay, let's create a little bit of structure, because there isn't much, okay, unless it's, you know, in season. But the weekends sometimes can fall through the cracks, but I think just they'll tell you like, hey, my Wednesdays are packed. I have Spanish, you know, from 9 to 11, then I have a weightlifting class, and then, you know, I'm going here, then I have another study hall, you know, what can I pack? So it's like, maybe you'll tackle one day, but they can apply what they learned from that one day into any other day.
Okay. Interesting.
So there's one thing, if you could be in any high, in the high schools, right, and say, what would be the one thing you would want an incoming freshman to know about nutrition before they got to your, before they came to you? Like, man, I wish if all kids knew this, my job would be better, and they would be a better, you know, better, a better athlete for it. Is there something that we could help our kids with, like right out of the gate to help you guys?
Yeah, and it might go back to the, like, eating every 3 to 4 hours to have that energy throughout the day. But more of, I find my athletes when they come, obviously, to me first, is they were never thinking about their nutrition ever. They never had to, right? They've always been a good athlete, or they've obviously gotten this far without thinking about it. So helping them maybe at the high school level be like, okay, like, I got to this point. What's going to make me better? So, like, you know, how can you be hungrier? But, you know, that fueling your body, you're going to be able to take care of your body. And you're going to be able to do the demands of your sport, which you might not know are coming. But, you know, how can you set yourself up to be in the best space to perform at your highest potential, not only in your sport, but in the classroom as well? Right. And I think it's looking at the overall picture, and it is tough being a student athlete and seeing what these kids go through every day. So helping them understand that, sometimes I say, like, think of nutrition as like another class you're taking, which sounds daunting and annoying probably, but how can you use nutrition to your advantage and pay attention to it like it is a course and implement it so you actually feel good in everything you're doing?
Awesome. Well, I do have a couple questions I had texted me from other coaches in the area, if you don't mind. One of them is from a volleyball coach, and they were talking about pregame meals, right? So the question came up, they sometimes eat all together, and they heard to carb load the night before and then eat something lighter on game day. Is that still like the pre-carb, kind of like a marathon thing, I guess, right? Like carb load the night before and then a light meal after. Is that something, does that make sense, or just keep stick to the triple threat meal?
Yeah, and I don't have the visual of the plate building, what I was kind of talking about, but, you know, if you have a match the next day, you know, you want to give yourself carbohydrates, the fuel. So maybe making your plate more of carbohydrates based on like an off day where you're not going to be training as much. However, on game day, that's when you need that fuel. So I think maybe not thinking, you know, more one night, less another night, thinking of, hey, how can I set myself up?
Okay.
My match. So I think not thinking about it as much might be helpful, but maybe you're eating lighter on game day because you don't want to have an upset stomach, but it doesn't mean you're eating less.
Gotcha. Okay.
Choosing food smarter, but you're not like, I'm not going to eat a lot because I know I'll play better if I have nothing in my stomach. Like, so kind of untangling that.
Okay. I got you. And I think that was the key to it. It's eating lighter, not less. Lighter food, meaning not the heavy salt.
And staying consistent. Yeah. There's no reason to really change it up a day before or the day of. You're basically staying consistent. And again, Joe, getting back to what you said, the takeaway is when you're eating those, you know, that lean, that chicken breast or the vegetables, you're not putting sauce, you're not putting fattening things on it to possibly slow you down. Issue that I see a lot of kids doing at our school is we have a McDonald's and we have a Burger King right down the street. And so they have time in between. In other words, school's out at 2:15, coaches want them back at 5. A lot of times they will stay on campus. They'll walk with their buddies, grab a McDonald's. Now, obviously, that is not the thing that they should be doing before a 7 o'clock game, correct?
So in situations like that, yeah, I totally agree with you. No. And there are things that you actually can get at McDonald's that could be maybe not the best choice, but could be a better choice. Correct. And I think it would take a while for them to buy in, because obviously when people go to McDonald's, especially high schoolers, do I expect them to get a grilled chicken sandwich? Probably not.
No.
But how can you still go to McDonald's and maybe you get a grilled chicken sandwich instead of getting that large fry, maybe you're getting a small fry. So maybe some small changes, but I think it would take time. Like maybe there's a Subway nearby, or maybe
is
a Jimmy John's, or
yeah.
And explaining to them, hey, like they probably don't even know that they don't feel as great before a game because they've always had fried food in their body. But you know, what if you had lean protein in instead of, you know, having a good, like a quality turkey sub with some carbohydrates and protein and not, you know, fried food that's going to delay recovery and promote inflammation. So they don't even know what is going on in their body, or so helping them kind of correlate that to the performance.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's just say in a perfect world, coaches were able to get them some trays of grilled chicken and some vegetables, and they were to eat, you know, buffet style around 3 o'clock. Do you think that you would see that they would see better performance, you know, at 7 o'clock when it's game time? Do you think that they might see a peak in their performance?
I mean, I think it goes back to, I mean, yes and no. I think it would go back to, are you doing everything else the same way you're doing the pregame meal? Yes. But I understand what you're saying, because, you know, And maybe you use that time. I don't know how likely it is that you could set up your own buffet or, you know, get sandwiches catered in, but maybe eating together, there's more camaraderie. Like, I think there's just so many different things you can find that might bring a team together. But I think it's about, you know, if they're doing pregame, you know, healthy, it's like, well, how are they eating breakfast? Do they have the same mentality for breakfast and lunch and their snacks and fueling adequately? Because yeah, that meal isn't going to.
Yeah, it has to go throughout the whole day. We're not just going to. They're not going to put a Band-Aid on it for one day and meal and fix.
Or to eat like creamy Alfredo pasta right before a game or a match, that would probably upset their stomach and they probably wouldn't feel good.
Right.
And again, high school level, we don't have the same deep pockets like a university. So
sure.
That's the disadvantage that we have on a high school level. We just don't have the ability to spend as much money as the college. Yeah.
I say that the subs to me seems like a very an easy thing to do at the high school level. Versus, like, I guess the pasta, you know, a buffet might sound more difficult, but I think just, or are a lot of them, do they go home after school before they would come back for the game?
So I think this year coach is going to allow them to go home. I know in the past they weren't. I know that when they, he would like cater in Arby's and they would have Arby's, like, you know, they would make their own sandwiches and whatnot, which I think is great for the coaches to be able to do that for the kids.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just interesting hearing you speak. One of the things that I really enjoy about what you've been saying and sharing today is that you are pretty realistic and understanding. So like you just mentioned Subway, that might be a better option. Well, that's doable for a lot of these kids. So right. I think that's kind of cool. Like you're not living in some high ivory tower saying, well, everyone should be eating broccoli and grilled chicken. You know, in the real world, high school level, these kids don't have the ability to eat that type of food on game days like that. So I think that's kind of cool. So
and again, like the other thing is, like you've been saying, it's just a better choice. It may not be, you know, everyone's favorite word now, optimal, but it's better than a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. And the small things I think add up.
Right. Definitely. Let's talk again, just from a weightlifting coach.
Who, you or Coach Deitch?
We're not using names.
Okay, I'm sorry. We can't use names.
It's me.
It's Coach Joe, the weightlifting coach.
I'm a weightlifting coach.
Not Coach Joe, the podcaster.
So best, like, a snack for, like, that heavy lift. But you guys, are the snacks the same pre-lift, no matter if it's going to be, like, a max effort day or just a normal, like, I'm thinking more weightlifting, right? Like, Olympic-style lifting, snatch, clean, and jerk. Would it be a different on a max effort day than it would be a normal training day, let's say? That makes sense.
Like if they were lifting versus not lifting, or different types of reps, or different types of workouts?
Different types of workouts. Let's say I'm going to lift heavy today. Like today's a heavy lift day, not a lot of running, but we're going to lift super heavy. Is that going to be different than, let's say, a conditioning day would be?
Yeah. So I would say if you're lifting, like obviously that's going to be more protein heavy, like to make sure you're recovering after that lift, where maybe conditioning the carbohydrates of the, you know, the running or whatever you're doing, like it's going to be probably more different movement.
Okay.
But I think just having the same mentality of the carbs and the protein, and if you're meeting your needs, like I think you would be okay. But if you were to like negate one or the other, then I don't think that'd be realistic. But okay, I just lifted a lot, so I need to recover. Or I just lifted really heavy, so I need to recover. So I need to make sure I'm getting my protein in and my carbs. But the protein would be, you know, more of the thing.
The protein's more important in that case for lifting. Then, right, that makes sense. Well, awesome. Well, I appreciate that. Can you just nail down some takeaways for us that we can, let's say, go from right from this podcast right into implementing?
All right. Eat every 3 to 4 hours for adequate energy throughout the day. Aim to have triple threat meals and double play snacks and stay hydrated. Keep a water bottle with you at all times.
Oh, that's what I'm guilty of. I'm not a high end athlete, but I definitely don't drink enough. That's for sure. Well, that's awesome. Liz, I really appreciate all your time with us today and taking this time out to do this with us. I just have one other question that you weren't prepared for. So it's going to be, what is a book recommendation you have for us?
Oh, I love this question.
Oh, good. Perfect.
All right. my favorite book ever is The Success Principles by Jack Canfield.
Success Principles. All right. Now I'm going to go two more. Favorite app? Or just an app, a good app for us to...
Instagram, Fueling Huskies.
Absolutely. Definitely recommend that one. If you're listening to this, definitely check them out. It is awesome. All right. Website.
Like sports nutrition website?
Can deep dive in.
DPSGA. But I think it's called sportsrd.org.
Sportsrd.org. I'm sure they have a ton of
these. So just so everybody knows, you can find nutrition infographics there on hydration, on inflammation, on recovery, on fueling on the go. And there, it's all the information is right there. It's super easy to utilize. And the athletes, they get it because it's easy to understand and it makes sense and you can apply it right away. So those are tools like anyone could use.
Awesome. Appreciate that. All right. Now, where can we follow you or the Huskies at on social media?
Fueling Huskies. We are on Instagram and we are on Twitter.
All right. Instagram and Twitter. Awesome. Cool deal. All right. Well, that should do it. I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. No problem.
That's it for this episode of Beyond the Whiteboard. Thanks to this week's guest and sponsors for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out fortitudefs.com, where you can find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned and information about Fortitude Fitness. If you haven't subscribed to Beyond the Whiteboard on iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Beyond the Whiteboard.